Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, and howdy, everybody. Welcome to a brand new week and a brand new show of the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Monday, July 2nd. Can you believe it? LGBT Pride and History Month is over, but really it's not and should not be forgotten. You should be celebrating Pride every day. Be proud of yourself and who you are. And our history is something we need to remember so we do not repeat it, especially in things going on in these days and ages. So welcome to the show, guys. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. Mine was overall uneventful, nothing too super exciting. Went out to the lake for a little bit. We have some great lakes right here in Northeast Ohio, lots of them very close driving distance. I went out to Lake Milton and enjoyed with a couple of friends. It was a good time had by all. Hope you enjoyed it. It is a heat wave out there. I don't know if you're in the north, listening from the northeast part of the spectrum, from like Chicago to Washington, D.C., up to the northeast, up to Rhode Island and everything up there. It is sweltering hot. We've had 90-plus degrees regular heat plus heat index because of the humidity up to over 100, and that's going to last for the next four more days. So not really excited about that, but, hey, what can you do? It is summertime. I bitch when it's cold in the winter, so I can't say too much. So anyway, welcome to the show today. If you missed last week's show, and why did you, you can always go look them up on iTunes, Spreaker, go to our Blog Talk show, www.blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight. You'll find all the archives, or you can download the free app on your Apple iStore. If you go to Left of Straight Show, you can get my free app, and you'll never miss an episode of the Left of Straight Show or anything on Left of Straight Radio. But I want to give a big thank you to last week's guest. On Monday, I had the amazing Seth Daniel. He created his own web series, Bothered, and he was so much fun to talk to. And then our good buddy of the show, Jay Knight, was on. We're talking about his new single, You're on Fire, and all of his music and movies that he's making. On Tuesday, if you missed out, we had the incredible Scotty Dynamo from Canada. Scotty is a fantastic singer, actor, YouTuber. He has over 38,000 subscriptions to his YouTube channel. We had a lot of fun talking to him. And then I was so pleased to be able to talk to one of my heroes, Ryan Karnes, an amazing actor from the LGBT movie Eating Out. He was in Desperate Housewives. He was in, still is in General Hospital. He has created a couple of great new movies called La Boda de Valentina, or Valentina's Wedding, to the cross-cultural movie from both Mexico and the USA. It's been a big hit. So that was great shows last week. I hope you will check them out. Today for you and this week, a couple amazing shows as we get into 4th of July on Wednesday. Today I'm going to have up first in just a couple of minutes here, Taylor Olson. If you're not following Taylor yet, you need to. He has some great music. He's a singer, songwriter. His new music video for his hit song just came out last week, I believe, for Manipulate. So we're going to be talking to him in just a couple of minutes. And then for the second part of the show, I have the international marketing director for the Jacked gay dating app, Alon Revel. The Jacked app is just a regular gay dating app. We all know what those are all about, right? But they are a very responsible app. But one of the things they've been doing, which is fantastic, is they joined up this summer with the group Fuck Hate, which is FCKH8.com, to go around to prides all over the country. They're going to over 50 prides to join them in the booth and kind of do some giveaways and help support this great organization that does t-shirts that tries to eliminate homophobia and bigotry community. So it was great to have Alon on. He'll be on in the second hour here. So looking forward to that. Tomorrow, I'm very excited. I'm going to interview, and it'll be my only guest tomorrow. We're doing a short show tomorrow because of the 4th of July on Wednesday. I need to get out of town and do some couple of things. So I have on as my special guest tomorrow, Blair St. Clair from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 that just wrapped up last week. She has a brand new album out that just came out last week. We're going to talk all about that and so much more. She has such an interesting story, and looking forward to speaking to that tomorrow. So great week of shows today. I hope you'll stick around for those. And then I want to give a big shout out to my media partners. Of course, Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio. He's the one that introduced me to my first guest today. We have our good friend Tony Guadagnino. He just picked up a new celebrity client. Tony does fantastic social media marketing for you. If you go to his website, www.tonyguad.com, that's TonyGuad.com, he'd be great in setting up your company or your personal social media. And then, of course, True FM Online, my media partner down in Columbus, I'm going to be working a lot more with in the coming months. Thanks to them for always been showing my show for the last 2.5 years there, and we're getting ready to go on to bigger and better things. And starting today, my great new media sponsor, Indulge Resort in Palm Springs. It's a gay male-only clothing-optional resort in the heart of Palm Springs. Fantastic guest rooms, amazing pool. Our good buddy Terry Ray and Mel England do their play Electricity there for the past couple months. But this is a great place for LGBT people of all over the country and the world to go visit in Palm Springs. You know there's 14 clothing resort, optional resorts in Palm Springs? This is one of the best, guys and gals. I'm going to be spending an entire month there, the month of August, doing my shows live from the resort poolside. And it's going to be a great time had by all. So a big thanks to Indulge Resort in Palm Springs for coming aboard the Left and Straight Show. We're going to be talking about them all this month. And, of course, broadcasting live from there starting on August 6th. So can't wait to be talking to them and having them aboard. The Big Gay Road Show, which is what is happening, that is going to take off. We leave 4 weeks from tomorrow from Northeast Ohio. Going to be leaving from Youngstown, Ohio, and traveling over the next couple of days to Palm Springs. I'll be doing little stop-ins along the way, talking about LGBT history, and I'll make our big gay road trip a fun time. My mother, Linda, will be coming with me, and she will be on the air with me from time to time on there. And going down to Palm Springs, once I get to the clothing optional gay resort, we're going to send Mom off, of course, to my brother's house. He lives in Thousand Oaks, and he is a Ventura County Sheriff. So we're going to have a great big gay road trip coming up in just a few short weeks. If you'd like to get more information on it or help sponsor it, I'm looking for ways to defer costs for gas and food and everything while there, because you know the show has no budget, and we could use all the help we can. You can order our great bracelets. We have marriage equality and pride bracelets at www.leftofstraight.com/pride bracelets. Only $20, and it includes free shipping if you'd like to help out that way. And we're going to have a GoFundMe page up this week with lots of fun prizes on the trip across the country that you can help donate to if you would like. So looking forward to that. So, yeah, we're getting ready to have a good old time, boys and girls. Couple things in the news I'll go to real quick before we get our first guest on. Big congratulations to Tom Daley and Dustin Lance Black for the birth of their son. They announced over the weekend they had their son Robbie Ray. We've been waiting for it for a while now. We knew that they were that they had a surrogacy. They got a lot of hate on Twitter for it. I was pretty shocked and surprised in today's day and age, but then again, in a Trump universe, I'm not too shocked with anything. There was some horrible Twitter comments, things like, ironically, their new baby son is in the womb of a woman. That's not your son. You two aren't really married. It takes a man and a woman to create a marriage. Stupid things like that. Crazy, but a big shout out to them and congratulations on their new son. So that's pretty darn cool for them. A lot of other fun things in the news we'll get to in a little bit. If you haven't been following Niall DeMarco, one of my favorite bisexuality personalities, was a winner of Dancing with the Stars. Great guy. And he, as for Pride, went naked and painted sign language symbols all over his body. So if you haven't checked him out on social media, you want to check that out because it's a pretty fun sight to behold. Let's go ahead and get ready for our first guest. I'm so excited to have him on. Singer Taylor Olson. He has some great music out. Brand new video last week for his hit that just came out. And we're going to talk all about that. But we're going to play one of his songs. Just a couple months ago, he did a video. This is Rude Boy. Warn you, this may not be safe for work, so you might want to have your headphones on. But it's a great song and video. When we come back, we'll be talking to Taylor Olson right on the other side. You're listening to the Left of Straight show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Call me, right?
Rudeness and attitude embedded in my DNA. Anyone I fuck gets an NDA.
Yep.
Man, I'm about to switch it up, get three different checks. Sing a song, write a rap, and now you fucking with a triple threat. No, I'm no longer just a safe bet. Cause tell me, have you even touched Billboard yet?
Nope.
Nah, black on black, fringed out in my Edelon. Every step I take is bloody in my Louboutin. You feeding on gossip while I'm changing the ranks. You run in your mouth while I'm stealing your piggy bank. I'm out of the box while I got you contained. I got enough talent for two careers, Eric and Jane.
Hey.
Yeah, started out moonwalking off the wall to Michael. I came up when I harmonized with an American Idol. Yeah, I'm her Drake, she my J-Lo. Now I'm hitting notes and bags with Pia Toscano.
Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Yeah, they call me Music Boy.
You took your hit, now it's time to pass it. I got a hot new joint and I'm trying to blast it. Took the bass, then I went and trapped it. Grabbed your career by the face, slapped it. Don't these boys get that I'm the authority? No, there's no more, no more ignoring me. Got a flow so illegal, Trump wanna deport me. That bum-faced orange STD's coming shortly. Ain't no question, I solve you like a riddle. I think you're smoking just a little too much crystal. I can merrily go round, I'll just keep it simple. You always be stuck, just a monkey in the middle. See, your shit is childish, you ain't nothing but a toddler. Scare the shit out of you like a real monster. Than a battle of rhymes, it's your skills that are bleeding. When you open your mouth, my ears, they're bleeding.
Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy.
Yeah, they call me Rude Boy.
Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy.
Yeah, they call me Rude Boy.
Oh my god, he sleeps with everyone. What a whore.
Yeah, what a slut.
I think I slept with him.
I hear he's a total homewrecker.
Oh, I've heard that.
He's not even hot.
What is he, a rapper, a singer? Like, pick one already.
Or just go away.
I heard he bought all of his Instagram followers.
He doesn't even have that many anyway.
I have like twice as many as he does.
What does he call himself? Taylor Made? Yeah, that's original.
I don't get it.
I hear he lip syncs all his shows.
He can't even sing. Who the fuck does he think he is?
Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy.
Yeah, they call me Rude Boy.
Rude boy. Rude boy.
We are back. That is Rude Boy from my first guest. He's an out-and-open singer and songwriter who released his debut album almost 5 years ago and has since then has transformed himself and his music into the person he is today. His newest track, Manipulate, already has thousands of views on his YouTube page, although the video was just released last week. He's got multiple downloads to all the music sites we can purchase his music, and he's also covering such artists as Rihanna to Britney. He's so cool. I'm excited to have him on the show for the first time. Please welcome Mr. Taylor Olson. Taylor, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I've been following you on your music career and, of course, on our buddy Alexander Rodriguez, who's a media partner of the show. So happy to have you on. What's happening in beautiful L.A. today?
I mean, I'm just staying inside. It's hot as holy hell outside, so I'm staying indoors and just chilling, you know?
I hear ya. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in, get out of the heat for a little bit, and chill. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning. Where'd you grow up, and what got you into music?
I grew up in the Bay Area, just out of San Francisco, and then I got into music actually probably around 4 or 5 years old. I was, my mom was really old school, really into R&B, really into Motown. She was a huge Michael Jackson fan, Jackson 5. So that music was playing a lot. Chaka Khan, that was always playing. So yeah, ever since then. And then, you know, once I started seeing music videos and stuff and seeing what artists were fully able to do, I started getting just really into all of that and then became obsessed.
That's great that you knew so early on. So those were your big influence in? Did you have any other major influence in your music, or who do you kind of gravitate to when you first started listening to all that?
Definitely it was Michael, Janet, Chaka Khan. And then as I got older, Britney.
Of course.
Britney.
That's awesome. Who was your first artist you saw perform live, both mainstream and indie? Who was your first concert? Do you remember?
It actually was Britney.
I love you. That's funny. That's too cool.
Yep. I was good from the get-go.
There you go. And talk about coming out to yourself. When did you first make that decision, and how did that later on influence yourself to come out as an out artist? I think that's fantastic that you are being your own true self.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dive right into that. All right. I mean, I knew
there's no rest here, my friend. We're going to jump into it.
No,
get that lemonade and spill the tea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, you can ask me anything. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't really hide anything, which is why I I enjoy being out. I enjoy being an out artist. I knew from the time I was about 12, 13 that I was gay. I came out when I was around 18, kind of came out, kind of got outed. So there was a couple, drama stuff with that. But when I started becoming it is what it is. It made me the dude I am today. So it's all good. But I mean, when I started doing music, I was very much concerned about am I going to be successful if I'm an out artist? Am I going to be able to relate to, are straight guys going to be able to listen to my music and be oh yeah, I want to, and put on some Taylor.
Right,
like,
right,
I
sure.
want to hear that. So, yeah, that was – but I knew that none of my music was going to sound genuine if I wasn't out. And that's why from the moment that I started doing, like, covers on YouTube and then I started producing and writing Rehab, I was like, you know, screw it. Like, I'm gonna be an out artist. If anyone has a problem with it, then they don't have to listen to my music. But it's the people that do listen to my music and the people that love me for me and my music for what it is what's more important in the end.
That's fantastic. I love that. And what has been any of the downfalls, if any, and what has really made you know that this was the right decision for you?
Honestly, there hasn't been that many downfalls. I feel like every artist goes through their own downfalls, like personally, just
right.
with everything that we have, like in our current, like social media, like, you know, everyone has, you know, online trolls, regardless of whether they're straight, gay, bi, trans, like, you know, we have our own, everyone has their own issues and their own like haters.
Sure.
So I think for me, I haven't had that many, major downfalls because I'm gay. I've been turned down from like a couple gigs because I am an out artist, and some venues, like this wasn't very recently, but it was towards the beginning of my career, about like 4 years ago, where some venues didn't want to have me, because I was gay and because I did bring in a gay following, they didn't felt like it was comfortable because some scenes that I was involved in were, you know, the pop stream and also the rap stream. So like, they didn't want me like at rap
right.
venues. bringing in, you know, a whole bunch of LGBT people. And then I just was like, all right, cool. Then I'm going to go to the places that do want me and we're going to, you know, rock it out.
There you go. There you go. Love that. And like you said, you did release your first album 5 years ago. What do you feel has changed in those 5 years of just the music industry alone? I mean, so many younger people are coming out and so many venues are featuring different artists, but what in the industry have you felt changing in the last 5 years? Because it changes so fast, the music industry.
Oh my gosh, it changes so fast. Honestly, besides like everyone's general sound just kind of evolves or changes based on kind of the years that go by.
Right.
Like I listen to stuff that I recorded for Rehab back in 2013. My album Rehab, not like the place. Just had to clarify that.
There you go.
So, but I mean, I listen to it and I'm like, wow, like I wouldn't record stuff like this today only because music has changed so much. But I feel like the industry in itself is now clearly like, I mean, I say what I say all the time and sometimes I get a little heat for it, but like, it's only social. It's basically social media now. Like, the music industry is social
right.
media. Like, if you don't have a following on social media, then you can kiss your records like goodbye. They're more like your hobby than your career.
Right, and plus all the streaming nowadays. I mean, it's hard to make money. There's no such thing as albums anymore. Everyone purchases by the song, so you have to make sure you have that music video or that hook to the song. It's got to be kind of a blessing and a curse, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, I threw a lot of people for a loop a couple months ago when I announced that I wasn't going to be doing any more albums because I put out 3 albums in 3 years. And over that course of that time, I was only able to do about like 2 music videos on my last album. And I was more focusing on the albums and more focusing on like, well, if I'm a singer, like I need to be putting out, you know, bodies of work. And I realized, like, at the beginning of this year that it's more important to have that visual and it's more important to have that video. So I'm like, here's what I'm going to do. Is I'm just going to keep, you know, blasting out singles and videos, and I'm going to do it, like, every 2 months. And that's kind of the track that I'm going on now, which I feel is keeping people more interested because they're like, how is this indie boy coming out with a single every 2 months and then attaching a video right to it. So I
right.
feel like that's more important now, which is crazy.
No, I think it's a smart way to do when you think about it. I mean, albums have anywhere from 6 to 12 tracks on them that come out one time. And like you said, if you spread it out over 2 months or however long period that you do it, it makes so much more sense, because if you're not don't have the money for a road crew and touring all over the freaking country, it's great to keep your name out there with something new every month. I think that's the smartest way to do it, especially, like you said, for indie artists now. Do you prefer being an indie artist? Do you want to sign with a record label? I mean, everyone likes the money behind a record label, but which is your preference? Do you really like being able to be on your own, or what's your thoughts on independent versus a label?
I think they both have their pros and their cons. Like, obviously the money behind a major label is a lot more less stress for an artist, and they have a full team
right.
there with you, and they're like, listen, we got this whole situation for you, all you got to do is be the artist. But I like being an independent artist. I like having, like, I have full 100% control over the music I write, the music I you know, put out, the producers that I work with. It's all, I prefer it. I know that, like, I'm actually in the process of, like, putting a team together so that I can kind of get a little bit of less stress off of me, because right now I'm my own manager, I'm my own PR, I'm my own assistant, like, and then I'm the artist on top of that, which is a little stressful.
Well, that brings me actually to my next question. That's a perfect segue, because, like, how do you balance the time of actually making music to that of being a business? Because a musician is a business in and of itself. So, I mean, you're a creative person by trade, and all of a sudden you have all these business responsibilities independent. So I think that's smart. You really do have to create some kind of a team around you, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I feel bad for my my close friends that I keep around me, because they've been telling me that, like, I literally have, like, about 4 personalities now, like, when I'm dealing with work and my music, like, it's bad now. Like, I'll just be on the phone, like, you know, booking myself for something, and I'll have this, you know, very stern, very strict, like, very cut to the chase kind of attitude, and then I got off the phone, and I'm like, you know, ready to hang out, and they're like, what the hell was that?
I hear you, man. I can imagine. Yeah, because businesses could be a full-time job. Like you said, it's all about promotion now. If you're not constantly on social media or sending out press releases or whatever it happens to be, it's a tough gig, boy. My hat's off to you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, talk about, is music full-time thing now? I mean, you're a great-looking guy. Do you ever want to cross over to films and modeling and stuff like that, television, or is music your sole focus right now?
I always thought that music was going to be my sole focus. Like, I thought it was going to be the only thing that I did. Lately, I have been getting, like, a lot of my friends and a lot of different people approaching me about, like, doing acting and stuff like that, which I'm very open to. I've never done it before. I've never even taken an acting class, but a lot of people tell me that, you know, that I have the look or the personality for it. So I could be open to that in the future for sure.
Nice. No, you definitely have the look and person. It's all about personality. In your videos, your personalities come through strong. I think that's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about your music process. Does the rhythm come first for you, or the words, or what comes first usually when you're making a song, or does it just vary? And how does one influence the other for you?
Oh man, I'm so scatterbrained when it comes to like the process of making music. I'm all over the place. Sometimes I get a beat and I'm like, all right, cool. So I need to write something to this, and I need to make this. I somehow need to turn this beat into fire because I just need this beat. But most of the time I have, like, if you look at the notes on my phone, I think I have about like maybe 3,000 notes on my phone that could easily just all be songs that I've written, or like half of songs. Some
nice.
Of them are just like 2 lines, but like, yeah, it's all over the place. Sometimes I have like this, all this stuff all over the board. So I don't even know.
I love that. That's kind of cool. And talk a little bit about bringing a rap to reaction to it? That's kind of relatively the last couple of years. Was that a conscious decision? Is it kind of organically where rap will join the song, or whether you're writing one or the other? Or like you said, it just kind of comes as it comes.
That was a big, like, that was a big turning point, and like one that definitely threw off like a lot of people. Everyone thought that I was just going to be this like pop singer, and then I came out with like an entire rap album. I looked at it like it's another kind of like another side of my personality. I've always loved rap. Like, I've always loved hip hop. At one of my shows, actually, back in like 2014, I was doing a cover of Nicki Minaj and Ariana Grande's and Jessie J's "Bang Bang," It's a great song. So I was doing "Bang Bang," and after I got done with Ariana Grande's part, I was like, oh my god, I got to do Nicki's part, and I got to do Nicki's rap, and it's not an easy rap. So I did it, and then people lost their shit over it, and I was like, oh, this could be a fun thing to do. Like, I've never done it because I didn't think people would respond well to it. And then people started responding well, and then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just start writing my own stuff. So then that's and then I had a residency at the House of Blues here in Los Angeles, and so I debuted my original rap single at the time at my residency here. So, and people responded really well to it. So I was like, we're doing an album.
That's awesome. I love that. Is either harder for you? What's easier for you, following a melody or free flowing in the rap style? Have you found one easier than the other? It just kind of depends on your mood at the time.
It kind of flows back and forth, only because like there's days where I'll hear a beat and I'll just start rapping and we'll be good to go. And then it kind of just goes from there. With rapping, you don't necessarily worry about like, oh, am I hitting the right notes? But when you're rapping, you're worried about like the delivery. You're worried about the flow. You're worried about the words. You're worried about the punchlines. Like when you're not singing, people are paying attention to what you're like saying so much more. So it comes and goes. I love both equally. So whenever I get to do songs like Lit, where I sing and rap on it, those are some of my favorite ones.
Well, that's very cool. I love that. And do you have any influence in rap? Anyone that you were listening to at the time that kind of does some influence towards you, or who are some of your favorite rap musicians that you might follow?
At the time that I decided to come out with my own rap stuff, definitely I was definitely listening to Nicki Minaj a lot. Mixtape Nicki Minaj. Lil Wayne was like always, because like I grew up like in, you know, the 90s and the early 2000s. And like in the early 2000s, Lil Wayne was like really coming out hard. Like, he had albums like every year. And then like he had that one year with the Carter 3. And then he was just on every single song. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And it was like his influence of being just constantly out there that like inspired me, especially when it came to rap.
That's awesome. And do you have a favorite song of yours to sing, or is it always just the most recent you have out now? And what's one of your favorite covers to do when you're out performing?
That's a really good question. damn. One of my favorites that I always enjoy performing of my own songs is Lit, because it always gets the crowd like, you know, really into it, really it's a good crowd, like crowd pleaser, like everyone gets up, everyone gets in. Yeah, that's probably my favorite one, Lit. I have a remix medley that I do when I perform it. So I do like the original, but then I do it into this remix that Drew G of Dirty Pop did for me. So I do that like all the time now. So that's my favorite nice. Original that I do. Favorite cover? I've done this cover about like 100 times now, and for some reason people haven't gotten sick of it. But I do this cover of Iggy Azalea's Black Widow with Rita Ora.
Oh, wow.
And no, yeah, I do both parts. So no, but so everyone's like kind of into it. But yeah, it's like a 4-year-old song, but people are still kind of like vibing with it. So it's cool.
Very cool. Now talk about your performing live. You performed all over the place. I know you're out with Alexander out at the fair last week. You talk about your residency House of Blues. You also lived in Vegas for a while. Talk about performing there and what kind of venues do you like to perform in? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I love like big open venues. Those are my favorite. Like I performed at the West Hollywood Halloween Carnival a couple of years ago, and that was so cool because it was like I think like 50 or 75,000 people. And it wasn't all at once, but it was all like people kind of coming and going. And I love big crowds only because I feel so much more pressure when there's smaller crowds. Like when there's like
right.
25 people sitting in a room and I got to sing for them, I'm like,
that's awesome. I love that. And then do you have like any dream job? What would be your dream gig? Where would you love to perform if you had the opportunity to go?
Biggest dream performing wise, I got to check one of them off my list actually two New Year's ago. I got to perform on the Las Vegas Strip, so on New Year's Eve. So that was definitely one of
nice.
My like big ones that I got to check off already. So I'm super stoked about that. I've always wanted to do like Radio City Music Hall in New York. I've always wanted to perform overseas in Europe and like Asia and stuff. So, I mean, I'm that kind of boy that just likes to continuously perform. The longer I get to perform, the better, in my opinion.
That is very cool. And do you have any like pre-show rituals or superstitions or nervousness ever? Any good luck charms you bring to shows?
Oh my God, I get so nervous.
Do you really?
I get. Oh,
you don't
I
seem
get
like
so
a nervous type.
Oh my God, I get so nervous. I like. I get really quiet, and people will like be trying to talk to me like before a show, and I'll give them like maybe like one or two word answers, and I always feel bad because I'm like I'm sorry, like I'm just kind of freaking out right now. And they're like, really? Like
oh,
you
funny.
Do this all the time? I'm like. Yeah, I don't know. I get really weird. Before every show, I have to drink at least like a bottle and a half of water, which is so random, but it's something like it's like if I don't finish like a bottle of water, I will like you'll see me getting on stage like chugging the rest of it. I have to get it down before I start my show.
That's funny. I love that. That's very cool. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here. I want to go ahead and play this new hit video that you just released last week. It's called Manipulate. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this video and your other videos. We're talking right now to Taylor Olson. You're listening to Left to Straight Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Caught up in the high,
All righty, we are back. That is Manipulate from today's guest, Taylor Olson. Taylor, great song. I want to talk about that in just a couple seconds. Let's talk about little other music. I mean, your music videos have just been progressing so much. I really enjoyed Rude Boy, which we played right before you came on today. Talk about making that video. You made a little fun of yourself, which I like. You showed us some moves, son. I didn't know you were that good of a dancer. Pretty cool. talk about the Rude Boy video first.
The Rude Boy video is so much fun. I got to have about like 15 of my friends be in the video with me, who are all like such amazing human beings, and they all are so well at everything they do in their own fields. Like I got to have all my friends who are dancers, models, drag queens, actresses. It was so much fun. I made that song and I made that video because so many people like to talk and so many people like to talk shit. And I wanted to make a song and video that was just like kind of playing off of that and just making it and to be like, listen, I don't take any of this that seriously. Like, you go ahead and call me a rude boy. Like, I clap back at people from time to time. But, I mean, like, it's not that serious, guys. It's just music. So, that's what it was. And I got to, like, kind of play on that and, like, have that storyline of everyone being in white at the beginning and representing this whole, like, pure identity. And so you can see on everyone's face when I enter that room with my friends, that they all have this like really kind of like stank look on their face, like they're pissed I'm there. then you see throughout the video, they get, you know, jacked, and then by the end everyone's in black and just kind of part of this like rube gang. So it was fun.
That's awesome. Now talk about, is that your videos, like I said, have progressed just in style and in substance, and I like the part in the video where you kind of came up between those two guys. That was kind of cool. Was that your, I know this one was the first featuring full same-sex couple talking about Manipulate, but you kind of teased a little bit of this time. Was that the first time you kind of put guy on guy in one of your videos, or have you worked with that before a little bit?
I did do like a little bit of it in my first video, Lit, but it wasn't like super obvious. It was just kind of there. So with Rude Boy, I kind of like teased it a little bit more, because at the time, like I was being, you know, names like to get thrown a lot. So at the time I was being called like a home wrecker for absolutely no reason. So I was like, well, let me have my friends that are a couple like be in my video and then I'll break them up. So
that's awesome. Payback for the non-true stories. I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, then Manipulate.
It's not that big of a deal.
That's like your, exactly. Manipulate is like your most ambitious video to date. Because, like I said, watch the progression. We have two locations. The shot is amazing. Talk about that. Who directed that for you? And talk about just the overall look. The look of it is freaking cinematic gold, man.
Oh my God! Thank you so much. The person that directed that video, his name is Scott Vera. He lives in Las Vegas, and he works at Level 9 Studios. He basically owns his own studio for, like, recording music. He engineers everything. He produces. I do, like, a lot of my recording with him, actually. And then he's also a director and an editor. So he comes in with me. We collaborate on what we want out of the video and what message we want to bring to it. And he'll shoot the video. He'll direct it with me. We'll make sure that we agree on every single thing. And then he goes back and then he edits it for me. Like he's honestly like the best person I've ever worked with, in my entire career. So when we got Manipulate, I was so excited because I wanted so badly to have like a male love interest. And I knew that this was going to be the perfect song for it. So when we got the idea and I was like, I just want another dude in this video. And thankfully one of my friends like stepped up to play my boyfriend and it worked out, you know, really well.
It was sexy as hell, my friend. I love it. I wanted to know who the boyfriend was. I thought that was very cool. You have a hot shower scene, and then you have, like I said, the great desert look out there. I think it just was amazing on the look out there. If you're listening to the words, it kind of makes sense, but just it's almost a surprise ending, though, which I love the ending of it, because if you're listening to the words, it makes total sense. But it's like, yes. I love how that video ended. I love it. I won't give it away, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh no, that's it's so funny. Everyone loves that video, and they always tell me like, what? Like, I can't believe it ended that way. Like, please tell me there's like a part two. Like, I need to know what happened. So based on just like everyone's reaction to it, like I've decided that one of my new videos I'm shooting a video in 3 weeks, and then I'm shooting another video in 6 weeks. But that second one, I'm actually making a part two to manipulate with one of my other songs. So you'll see my video boyfriend again in another video.
That is awesome. I love that. So cool. And then of course you've gone to blonde in this video. Do blondes really have more fun? Looking pretty sexy there, my friend.
I just decided one day, and it was super like spontaneous. I just called one of my friends who's an amazing stylist and hair color, I don't know what it's called, person. He's gonna kill me.
hair colorist,
yes, perfect. I just called him. I was like, I want to go blonde. And he was like, didn't you just release like a whole bunch of photos of you with your brown hair? I was like, yep, I don't care. We're going to go blonde. So, yeah, but it's fun. I like being blonde.
Aha. Uh-huh. You have a boyfriend, though. You can't have too much fun. So, but at least you get to play with it a bit, huh?
I do, yes.
Bring all the cute boys to the bar, at least, and to the music venues. That'll work.
Yes.
So you say you have all these notes and everything, and you have all these plans for new music videos. Are you constantly writing? Are you writing? How often do you seem to be writing new songs?
I probably write good 2 to 5 songs a week. I write like 2 to 5 songs a week, but maybe like one is one that I'm like, oh, this is perfect. I have to record this. I've been working a lot more on like collaborating with some of my other friends who are artists. So I'm super excited because my new single that's coming out in a couple weeks, I'm actually debuting in San Diego at Flix for San Diego Pride kickoff. And I'm premiering the single with me and Ray Latrey. She's so amazing. She's one of my good friends. And then DJ Bryn Taylor, she's also like this fucking amazing, excuse my language. She's a really amazing DJ. And she is also a rapper on the side when I make her. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we get to shoot the video in a couple weeks.
That is awesome. That sounds like so much fun. I can't wait for it to come out again. That's going to be great. Now, who are your dream collaborators? Just talk about someone you love to work with. If you had your own dream collaborators, who would be vocally, who would you like to maybe duet with, and who would be maybe a dream collaborator on a music video as well? You could have anybody in the world besides Brittany. You can't use Brittany. We've got that.
I kind of got that. I was lucky enough to be on stage with her in her Vegas show, so I kind of got that off my list already.
Oh, you're the bomb. Now I'm just jealous hell. That's cool.
honestly, it wasn't even going to be Brittany. No shade or anything like that. She's the queen. But like vocally, I've been obsessed with Dua Lipa over the past like year or so. Like, she's just so, so amazing.
That would be very cool. I've had a lot of friends that are following that music, and I haven't really gotten too much into it yet, but I'm going to. It's like one of my new goals. I've never been a huge music person as far as listening on my own. It's kind of, I don't buy stuff. I just listen to it in the car all the time. I never know what CDs to buy and stuff. So I'm going to have to go to you for some advice here down the road.
I got you. Yes. Dua Lipa for sure.
Love it. All righty. Well, I can't believe our time's coming in. We've almost been on the air for an hour here. Do me a favor and tell everyone where can they find you? Do you have a website? Where can they find you on Twitter and Instagram and all the fun places out there in social media world?
All the fun places. My website is TaylorOMusic.com. My Instagram and my Twitter are both TaylorOMusic as well. My Facebook is Taylor Olson Official. My YouTube is my name, Taylor Olson. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have any live dates coming up anytime soon?
I do. I have, I'm looking at my friend who's giving me all the information right now. I have July 12th at Slicks in San Diego for their Pride kickoff. I'm hosting and performing that night. And then I'm performing here at Bar Lubitsch in Los Angeles. That's where my other residency is. I performed there on August 6th. And then I'm kicking off the first annual North Valley Pride on August 12th. 11th. August 11th, sorry.
What day is August 11th? Is that a Friday?
I think that's a Sunday? Sunday.
13th is Monday, so that's probably a Saturday, the 11th. Cool. I will be probably going to LA from Palm Springs, so I may have to come see that. That'll be fun. Where are they having the Pride at?
It's going to be in North Hollywood. So they haven't given me the full details on the streets and everything, but they gave me a full headlining set with Caswell and some other great performers. So I'm going to be doing a 30-minute set with dancers and everything. So it's going to be cool.
That is sweet. Congratulations. That'll be fun.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I have enjoyed talking to you. Thanks so much for being my guest today, Taylor. We're going to be looking forward to having you on back again and talking to you. When I get out in LA, I'll definitely say hi. And guys, go purchase this music. It's available everywhere, right? You can go Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. Where is it all located at, Taylor?
It's everywhere. Even if you still got LimeWire, I'm sure it's there too.
I love it. You can find him on an old MySpace page and download it off the player. That would be so funny.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Taylor, stay on the line for me, guys. We're going to go ahead and be back in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking to the global marketing director for the gay dating app Jack. They've teamed up with Fuck Hate this year, going to prides all over the country to stop bigotry and prejudice against the LGBT community. But let's play out. I really like Rude Boy. We'll play out one more time with Rude Boy. This is Taylor Olson. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Rude Boy. That's what they call me, right? Rudeness and attitude embedded in my DNA. Anyone I fuck gets an NDA.
Yep.
Man, I'm about to switch it up, get three different checks. Sing a song, write a rap, and now you fucking with a triple threat.
Hey, no,
I'm no longer just a safe bet. Cause tell me, have you even touched Billboard yet?
Nope.
Nah, black on black, fringed out in my Edelon. Every step I take is bloody in my Louboutin. You feeding on gossip while I'm changing the ranks. You running your mouth while I'm stealing your piggy bank. I'm out of the box while I got you contained. I got enough talent for two careers, Eric and Jane.
Hey.
Yeah, started out moonwalking off the wall to Michael. I came up when I harmonized with an American Idol. Yeah, I'm her Drake, she my J-Lo. Now I'm hitting open bags with Pia Toscano.
Rude Boy. Rude Boy. Rude Boy. Rude Boy. Yeah, they call me Rude Boy. Boy.
Took your hit, now it's time to pass it. I got a hot new joint and I'm trying to blast it.
Yeah.
Took the bass, then I went and trapped it. Grabbed your career by the face. Slapped it.
Bitch.
Don't these boys get that I am the authority? No, there's no more. No more ignoring me. Got a flow so illegal. Trump wanted to deport me.
Who?
That bum face Doran's STD's coming shortly.
Fired.
Ain't no question, I solve you like a riddle. I think you're smoking just a little too much crystal. I can merrily go round. I'll just keep it simple. You always be stuck, just a monkey in the middle. See, your shit is childish. You ain't nothing but a toddler. Scare the shit out of you like a real monster than a battle of rhymes. It's your skills that are fleeting when you open your mouth. My ears, they're bleeding.
Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Yeah, they call me Music Boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy. Yeah, they call me Music Boy.
Oh my god, he sleeps with everyone. What a whore.
Yeah, what a slut.
I think I slept with him.
I hear he's a total homewrecker.
Oh, I've heard that.
He's not even hot.
What is he, a rapper, a singer? Like, pick one already.
Or just go away.
I heard he bought all of his Instagram followers.
He doesn't even have that many anyway.
I have like twice as many as he does.
What does he call himself? Taylor Made? Yeah, that's original.
I don't get it.
I hear he lip syncs all his shows.
He can't even sing.
Who the fuck does he think he is?
Rude boy. Rude boy. Rude boy.
Rude boy.
Yeah, they call me Music Boy.
Alrighty, we are back. Guys and gals, I'm so excited to talk to my next guest today. He's the Director of Global Sales and Marketing at the hit LGBT app, Jacked, and his company is on a mission to support combating sexism, racism, and homophobia with their participation in Fuck Hate Pride Tour this summer. That's FCKH8 Pride Tour this summer. Whether you still believe in picking up guys and girls in bars or just shy and coming out, apps like Jacked have really made the LGBT community a little less lonely and connectable. Let's welcome to the show for the first time, Mr. Alon Revelle. Alon, how you doing today, buddy?
I am doing great. I'm really excited to be here. Really happy that you're having me. So this is great.
Well, I'm excited to have you on. You have a very busy summer tour you've kicked off here. Where are you calling in from today? You've been all over the place.
I have been all over the place. I am happy to say I'm actually at my home base right now, in our offices in Boston. So that is, it's been nice to actually be here. I actually just got back from a trip to Korea, Japan, and Los Angeles. So it's been a little nutty.
Oh my goodness, that does sound a little crazy. Let's start at the beginning with you a second. I mean, you've worked at such diverse places as New York Times and Bloomberg. How did you end up working for Jacked? This is kind of cool.
Yeah, so I actually was very corporate, as you mentioned, prior to my time here, and I wanted to go to a place that I believed in, a brand that I felt I could impact, take everything I learned from these kind of big corporations and bring them to more of a startup scrappy culture and help shape it, help organize it, and help speak to the community that I'm personally a part of and feel that I want to give back to. So that's how I ended up here, to kind of help create the team, create the brand messaging, and kind of grow our audience, figure out who we are and how to get that message across.
That's amazing. So you are part of the community. You're not an ally. That's very cool. That had to be kind of exciting to be able to work with your community. I can imagine that. That's great.
Yeah, I've always wanted to work in the gay space, and you know, I wouldn't work at any place that I don't believe in the brand or the product. That's kind of why I was at places like New York Times, because obviously I love the New York Times, and Bloomberg as well is a really well-known brand. So I felt like Jack kind of needed to be more well-known, and hopefully I was able and am able to continue doing that.
Sure. And you seem a passionate advocate of digital marketing. Tell me about how that passion came about. Have you seen the industry changing over the years, and what are you excited about it?
Yeah, I definitely have seen the industry change. It changes every single day, to be honest with you. I mean, when I started in this space, TV was still king, and people didn't even know what, like, VOD was, or video on demand was like this whole black hole, and people didn't even want to advertise on it. They were giving away those things for free with your TV buy deals.
Right.
And now, you know, we're seeing streaming video kind of be leading in the space, and you know, all the basic digital banner ads are changing and evolving. Everyone's talking about like VR and alternate realities, and social is everywhere and everything, and influencer marketing, all of these things that were just didn't even exist prior to when I started in this space at all. So it absolutely is changing and evolving every single day. It's a really exciting place to be. And I'm personally a pop culture and media junkie, so that's how I sort of always had a passion for it.
Nice. Let's talk about
yeah.
the company a little bit. I mean, Jack started in 2011, right? It was a Cornell University project. And
correct.
Give me a little background on the app if you can.
Yeah, sure. So it was started, like you said, by a guy who was in Cornell out of his dorm room, and we purchased it from him, I believe, in 2013. We acquired the app, and with that, you know, we obviously the dating app space was changing very quickly then. That's kind of when, around the time that Grindr started to get very popular as well, and our company wants to stay competitive in the space, so we wanted to get an app that already had a strong user base and kind of take it, grow it, and run with it. And that's exactly what the owner did. He purchased Jacked from this guy, and luckily for us, because the creator was Asian, he actually brought it to the Asian markets first abroad, and there was no other gay dating app in that space yet. So organically,
wow.
the user base was very Asian, and to this day, we are our second and third largest markets are Japan and Korea. So that kind of started giving us a community that differentiated us from the rest of the marketplace. And to this day, over 80% of our audience is not white. So 50% of our audience identifies as Asian, which is crazy considering we have over 1 million users on the platform.
That's amazing. And it's not like
yeah.
there's a small group of people out in the country. We're talking one of the biggest populations in the world. So I can just see it growing
right.
as we go on. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And yeah, like
yeah,
you said,
it's
you
awesome.
Like, I think
it's
right
awesome.
Now you're at like 1.2 million guys at least in 2,000 cities and 180 countries. That's quite an accomplishment in relatively short time since you guys took it over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ever since I kind of came on board, I kind of helped define what the brand was, and I realized through these numbers, through this data, that we're the app for gay guys who don't have a space anywhere else. A lot of people felt, you know, discriminated against, ostracized. The gay community can be really hard on itself and its members, and if you don't fit a certain standard of beauty or a certain norm that they see as beautiful and acceptable, then they will quickly brush you off and say, no, like, I don't want to date you, I don't want to be with you. And we found that on Jack, a lot of guys were more open to things that weren't the standard normal in the sense of what people said was normal forms of beauty. And it's been awesome
right.
because people have made friendships, people have safe spaces in countries where it's not even safe to be gay. So it's been really, really awesome community to be a part of.
That is cool. And one of the things I love about it too, I mean, we still have so much bullying going on. I mean, it's getting better all the time, but Jack definitely has that 24 service monitoring on the platform. I think you are very proactive in making sure the platform stays very safe, very welcoming kind of community. And that seems to be a high priority of the company.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, to this day, we thrive off of users reporting other users as well, because we want people to kind of let us know, hey, we're seeing something that isn't right, look into this. And we have someone, like you said, 24 hours on the clock, able to respond to those issues and handle them immediately. We do not tolerate any racism, any bigotry, any inappropriate behavior between our members, especially when it comes to people attacking other people just for the color of the skin or the way they look. So we actually had a campaign that we ran, you know, it's very popular terminology, unfortunately, in a lot of our competitors, where people would put on their profile things like no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no Asians. And we kind of took that back and made a whole campaign about no bullies, no bigots, and that letting people know we do not allow people who speak like that on our platform at all.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. Being a bigger guy, I'm in the middle of my weight loss journey, but I've always been a pretty big guy since about 25 or so. And it's nice to see platforms that really do kind of work for every guy on there. And there's not many that can say they do that. I mean, it's great. There's niche, of course, apps anywhere anymore. We see them getting more refined
right.
all the time. But it's nice to see some generalization rules. And I think I've seen that campaign. I am on the app. I've met some good friends in there, actually, and it's kind of a cool space to be on when you're one of the outer circles of the rings of the LGBT community, when you have different communities, and it's kind of great to be there. So thank you for that, my
yeah.
friend.
Of course. I'm happy to hear you have friendships, too. That's big. That's what we thrive on is connections and friendships, not just people meeting to go on dates or hook up. So that's great to hear.
Well, exactly, especially like this show originates out of Northeast Ohio. And, we have Cleveland and Pittsburgh close by, but we are not Los Angeles, New York, when we have 2,000 users of an app close by. So it's nice to be able to develop those online friendships. And that's a great way to kind of start getting into your community and starting to lose a little bit of the shyness and start to connect with different things and kind of just learn about it, especially if you're just coming out or new and everything. It's a great way to how platforms should be. I mean, hooking up is great. We all know about really great to forge those friendships and relationships and to learn a little bit about our community.
It's interesting you say that because especially in cities where there aren't as many users, we were first and have had this feature for the longest time, and it is a free feature that not many people even notice that we have, is that you can change your location in the worldwide view grid mode and change it to anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world and start talking to guys in other places that you might travel to, or if you feel like there aren't enough users around you and you want to meet people who are maybe a city over, you can just change and toggle between that and then talk to people, let's say, in Canada or France or LA, wherever, and make more friendships and more connections. And that is a free feature we have. So definitely people should know about that and use that more to their advantage.
Exactly. I was very excited to find it. Like I told you off air, I'm heading for I'm calling it the big gay road trip from Northeast Ohio to Palm Springs in August. And I've toggled Palm Springs already. Believe me, I'm making
good.
Friends.
Good. Good. That's awesome.
All right, let's
awesome.
Get into this campaign. I think this is so amazing. You set sail on a 50-city tour, including Canada and Europe. Started it back June 1st at the Kansas City Pride. You're going to be going all over, bebopping around until you ended up in November 3rd in Palm Springs, speaking of Palm Springs. Tell me how this partnership with Fuck Hate came about.
Yeah, so Fuck Hate is an awesome, awesome organization. They stand up to people who are obviously racist, bigoted, sexist, and say, no, this isn't okay. We're not for that. We're for trans rights. We're for gay rights. We're for everyone. Their shirts are witty. They say anything from fuck Trump all the way to gay people get married, get over it. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening have seen those shirts. They were very popular for many years. I had one actually prior to even working with a company. So really loved what they stand for, knew about them, and they were looking to do a tour to go on all these gay pride locations to sell their merchandise. And they reached out to us and said, hey, we would love to partner with Jacked and see if you would join us for the tour. So the first time we did this was last year with them, and this year we're doing it even bigger. And what we do there is kind of, while they're selling their shirts, we're sharing the booth with them and giving out free time on the app. We're saying, hey, check out, you know, the app, download it. This is, we're here for everyone. We try to also hit up gay pride cities that don't get as much recognition, because a lot of people don't feel like they're important enough. If it's not the LA Prides, they don't want to go, and we want to be in those places so they know, hey, we're here, we care about you, we care about the community. Download our app, check it out, make some new friends, here's some free time, here's some free swag. And we're here. We're here listening. Any sort of comments, feedback, issues you're having, let us know. That's kind of where it all started.
And I did get to see your booth both in Cleveland and Columbus Pride. So thank you so much for paying attention to Ohio here. That was amazing to see you in both places. And it is just a really great opportunity to learn, because a lot of people go to the Pride for the first time. And that's their first kind of awareness. They take baby steps. They feel like they can kind of hide in, especially in the bigger cities like Columbus and Cleveland. So it's a little safe place to kind of stick their toe in the waters. And they might not have heard about organizations, things like Fuck Hate and apps where you can actually meet other people. So it's a great kind of a partnership for both sides of the spectrum. So that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people, like you said, are, it's their first time at a Pride, and our core users, 70% of our users fall between 18 to 25 years old. So they're having a lot of them are having their first ever gay interactions, gay experiences on the app, and you know, it's like we said, the landscape is changing. So it's really important to let them know that there's more options than just like the big known gay dating apps. You know, there are other options for them, especially if they don't fall into, you know, just looking for a quick hookup like they could get from a lot of the other dating apps.
Personalize your own coming out, Stormy, if you will, for a second. Tell me about where did you grow up, and what was your introduction to the LGBT community? I guess everyone's familiar with the apps, but kind of tell me about what you saw apps like this when you were just coming out, and what you see it now on the other side as a part of the marketing and trying to get people to understand the app.
Sure. So quickly, I came out. I kind of went in and out. My coming out story was not like the smoothest or the simplest, but I personally came out to myself as young as 9. I knew that young. And I was, you know, it was difficult trying to figure out the landscape. When I was coming out and figuring out my own sexuality, there was no gay dating apps available. It was pre that time. I mean, the dot-com boom was still happening, to be honest. Like, that's how old I am. So it sort of was all happening there, and I was going on websites. I was still going to Barnes & Noble and trying to sneak a Playgirl to see pictures, to be honest. Like, that's the era I come from. It was sort of like, oh, let me like take this magazine and kind of look through it, and then like put like a different magazine over it so no one knows what I'm actually looking at. So, because obviously I was too young to be looking at that stuff anyway, and also the fear of it all when you're that young to be discovered and it's this big secret. So coming out was challenging in that sense, because there weren't as many resources available to me. I had to find things on the internet. I didn't have role models to look after. I remember when I was 15 seeing the first ever gay kiss on TV on, I think it was like Dawson's Creek on like primetime television. So I remember these very big things happening while I was lucky enough to be going through it and growing up in an era that was accepting. And you know, now younger generations, they had Glee and they had all these shows that everyone's like gay and trans and non-binary. We didn't have that stuff. And the apps help that too. The apps give them, you know, oh, well, you don't have to go to a gay bar or a gay club or a gay party to meet someone or a theater club. Like, that's how I met. My first gay interactions were through, I like theater, I guess, because everyone here is gay. You know what I mean? So like many other gay people, that was my story and my way of meeting people who were like me, learning from them. The first gay guy I ever really kissed was through my theater club in high school. I was 15 years old, and he was older, and he was more well-known within the club and the community. And that's sort of, you know, very typical story of my first interactions with that community in that space, and it led to me going to theater camp and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's me. How do I think the gay apps kind of help the society? A lot of people will argue that gay apps are killing, you know, the gay clubs and the gay bars that I was talking about that I needed growing up. But I actually disagree with that, because if that were the case, then why are lesbian bars closing as well, first off?
Right.
And there aren't as many lesbian apps out there. So I think the gay space is just changing and evolving, and this is sort of what we asked for. We asked for inclusion into everyday society. We don't need a gay bar to meet gay people. We could go to a bar and there will be gay people there in major cities, and that's progress. We don't need a sub-community. We're included in the community, and that's always what we wanted. I believe that's what we asked for, is inclusion. So that's progress to me. And if we do want a certain thing, we can just click it on an app. I mean, how great is that?
Right.
I can see the guys who are right by me, who are near me, who want to meet me for anything from coffee, a hookup, a date, a friend trip, whatever.
Right.
I love that point of view.
That's so well said and so truth, because I mean, like I said, I remember back in our days and everything, you would find the gay clubs in the seediest alleyway or in the biggest back street, and now you're on main streets, and all of the younger gay friends coming out in high school and college and everything, they'll go to the straight bars for drinks with their girlfriends and guy friends and everything, and then they'll go to the gay club to dance. They just know that's a fun place to dance because we have better music usually. It has nothing to do with being a community thing
right.
anymore. I think it's just a fun place to socialize, you know?
It's really exciting, actually. Like, I don't remember Pride Month being what it was now, what it is now, when I was a kid. Like, I go into Target and there's just like rainbows everywhere for the whole month of June, and like a whole gay section in almost every major department store. Like, I walk into a mall, just this pride everywhere. Like, that's amazing. Like, people are aware, people are waking up and realizing we are included, we are we have a space. So it's very nice. I mean, does that mean the fight's over? Does that mean things are great? Absolutely not. Does that mean we should forget what's going on in the rest of the world, in places where things are not so great, like Egypt and Russia? Absolutely not. But it just shows that through work, progress can be made.
Right. Very, very well said. And I've kind of changed, as I get older and everything, I have changed Pride Month and everything to its counterpart, because it's actually, June is not only Pride Month, but History Month, LGBT History Month. And I think that's more of the important focus anymore, to see where we've been and where we've gone and what we don't want to repeat. And like the Pride right now, just your tour alone is from June to November. Pride is celebrated year round in different countries, different cities all over the country and the world. So I think it's great that we do see all these companies in June, but I love that we're celebrating year round in different communities. And I love spending June talking more these days as an older LGBT community member to talk about the history and where we came from and why it's so important we don't forget.
Yeah. And it's also important to realize how like the really younger community, you know, the post-millennials is what they're calling them, are experiencing and their perspective. They don't know a world without apps, without technology. They don't know a world without this kind of representation, especially again in the major cities within the United States that have inclusion. So it's really interesting to see how they're perceiving, acting, contributing to the gay space today. When you see them at Pride, they have a very different fight that they believe that they need to have versus the fight that I think the millennials and the baby boomers had for their society. They're very much so about being non-binary and being not having a certain gender or certain labels, or being very inclusive of the trans community, things that we just did not see at the level from allies that we're seeing today from the younger community.
Right. And I think it circles right around to Jack's mission statement. I mean, you believe that everyone should be proud of who they are and where they come from, no matter where it is. I think that's a great mission to live by. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
It shows
communityism
as much as it does just like I said, hookups or whatever. So I think that's fantastic. I want to make sure everyone knows that the Fuck Hate campaign is FCKH8.com. I definitely want you guys to check that out, because, like I said, they started in 2010 just doing social change through their T-shirts, and now they've come across some great messaging over the years, and we have some great organizations like Jack teaming up with them. Talk about what you would like to see happen in this global tour. What are some of the goals of Jack? What would you like to see happen from this tour as you head towards the end in November?
Honestly, I would just like people to be aware, to be happy, to be aware of the fact that we exist, that there's options out there for everyone. I don't want any gay person, especially with all the suicide rates we've been seeing and the depression rates we've been seeing and the bullying we've been seeing, to think that if they don't fit into the very major apps that are out in the marketplace, our competitors, that they don't have a space. A lot of people feel like if they don't have a space in the world through an app, through their social identity, then they don't have a space at all. And we're there to let them know you do. You know, you shouldn't feel you can't go somewhere and meet people if you're gay and black. The gay and black community is treated very differently than the gay white male community. It is a completely different struggle. It's a completely different mindset. And we want to let them know that, hey, we're here. We're here for you. If you're Asian and living in Korea and don't have a space, we have a space for you. Don't be scared to come out of the closet. Don't be scared to be who you are on this app. That's really the goal, is to get more people involved, meeting more people, making more connections, feeling safe, feeling happy, feeling secure with themselves, and just using the product and at the end using it to their own benefit for whatever they want. We don't just believe that people should be who they are and where they come from, but that they know that there is a space for them and that they should utilize it. That's even more important, to know that that space is available. So this is more than anything is an awareness campaign.
Fantastic. I love that. And just in case anyone is just turning into the 21st century here, Jack can be found at iTunes and Android App Store, just about any place. You can look it online, your computer. Tell them where they can find you. I'm sure it's just about everywhere now, right?
Yeah, so if you go to jackdapp.com, it's J-A-C-K-D, app.com. You can go there. You can learn all about the product. You can download it from there. Or like you just said, you can go to the iOS store or the Android store and just search Jacked. Again, that's J-A-C-K-D, no E. So, yeah, go ahead, download it, try it out, and meet new guys.
Alon Revelle, thank you so much for coming on the Left of Straight show. That was very fun chat to have with you. I'm so excited for your campaign. Look for them at Pride everywhere across the country. You can find out where can they find out the tour city dates? Is it on your
So they can find that on the Fuck Hate website.
Okay, website. Okay, terrific. So be sure to do that out. Alon, stay on the line for me here. We're going to go ahead and take a quick song break, and we'll be back on the Left of Straight show in just a couple of minutes.